Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to have with us a man who has recently been sitting in my chair, happily, on the occasions when I can't do the show, Kyle Scheidler. He is the director of the Threat Information Office at the Center for Security Policy, one of the most important activities of the center these days under his leadership. Kyle formerly served as the director of research and communications at another esteemed organization, the Endowment for Middle East Truth. He is a very active contributor to the public policy debate, including with articles of late at Breitbart, The Federalist, Town Hall, The Hill, the Claremont Institute, where he's been a Publius Fellow, and counterjihad.com. Kyle, welcome back, and thanks so much for guest hosting with some regularity now. It's really appreciated.
Oh, thank you, Frank. I'm glad to be back on this side of the mic as well.
Well, you do well on both sides. Listen, there is a lot going on in the threat information office world these days, and I'm particularly interested in your take on what to make of the, well, seeming upshot of President Trump's visit to the Persian Gulf recently. Namely, a concerted effort on the part of the various members of the Gulf Cooperation Council to exclude and punish and perhaps ultimately destabilize one of the countries in their company, Qatar. What's that about, and what do you think the implications are of what's happened so far, and where do you think it's going from here?
Well, you know, one of the things that was most important about what President Trump said when he went to Riyadh was his demand of the Gulf states that they drive out terrorists and terror financiers. And when the Gulf looks around for terror financiers in need of driving out, there is no worse suspect than Qatar. The struggle between the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Egypt and Qatar goes back to 2011, and it really has everything to do with Qatar's support for Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Iran. And they view Qatar as really the worst of the worst when it comes to trying to undermine the stability of the Gulf region by using these resources, most particularly their very close relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood. So the Saudis, the UAE, and other Sunni states have issued essentially what is a blockade of Qatar, cutting off airspace, sea lanes, and even the one land route in order to pressure Qatar to change its policies. Now, they have explicitly called for the expulsion of the Muslim Brotherhood. They have explicitly called for a termination of Qatar's alliance with Iran and the expulsion of Hamas. These are changes in policy that we would not have dreamed of just a few years ago.
Yeah, indeed. And their implications, of course, as you know better than just about anybody, Kyle Scheidler, extend well beyond the region. They're now, in fact, looking at a problem that the Qataris, with their support for the Muslim Brotherhood and Al Jazeera and the like, are creating in Europe as well as in this country, I think. So I'm all for this effort to shake things up with the Qataris. You're also aware, I know, Kyle, you mentioned Iran and the connection between the Iranian regime and the Qataris. It's very worrying, obviously, to the Sunnis in that part of the world, but also should be to us, especially since we have important bases in Qatar at the moment. Talk a little bit about the reports of Iranian support for the Qatari government, perhaps having not only a defense agreement, but also security personnel on the ground in Qatar, and what that might mean for the security of our personnel and operations there.
Well, immediately after the Gulf announced this sort of blockade of Qatar, Qatar did two things. They immediately implemented their defense agreements with their only two remaining allies, which are Turkey and Iran. So we know for a fact that the Turks have people on the ground And the Egyptian media is alleging that there are also IRGC troops on the ground. Now, according to the story, these troops are providing close support for the royal family and the royal palace. And I suppose the fear of the Qatari royal family is that there could be a coup or some kind of palace intrigue to overthrow the ruling emir and replace him with somebody that is a little bit more amenable to the Gulf Cooperation Council's request. I think that's the end goal that the Saudis are looking for and the Gulf is looking for, and the Qataris are trying to head it off. So we'll see if it works.
Should we, Kyle, knowing what you do about the Qatari government, at least under the present emir, be actively considering the removal of our bases from this country, especially if it's going to be hosting Iranian operatives that have been well known for their not only ambition, but their ability to attack us?
Well, the base at Qatar is a very important U.S. air base because largely the Qataris allow us to fly missions out of there that no other country will allow us to fly. That said, the Qataris are essentially using the base as a human shield to cover them from their other nefarious activities. And that's simply unacceptable from a policy level. You know, U.S. troops can't be we can't allow for U.S. troops to be used in this way. So at a minimum, if we don't see the kind of policy changes that are currently being demanded of Qatar, and I'm not certain whether we will see those changes or not, the U.S. should certainly consider either reducing or ultimately removing that base because the Qataris simply don't deserve it. Now, that there will be some initial heartache when we do that. It will be expensive and there will be some difficulties, but it may be worth doing in the long term.
Yeah. And very quickly, would they mean reestablishing a similar kind of presence in the UAE, perhaps, or Kuwait? What are the other options?
I think the United Arab Emirates in particular would be very happy to have us. They have made that point clear. And the other Gulf states would also prefer to see us there as well.
Yeah. Let me ask you quickly, Kyle, about one other thing. There's been an arrest yesterday of two individuals alleged to be part of Hezbollah cells on bomb-making and espionage charges. I'm sure that the presence of Hezbollah personnel in this country isn't a surprise to the Threat Information Office at the Center for Security Policy, but it's probably coming as a bit of a shock to many others. What do we know about these guys and what they may be part of in this country?
Well, we know for certain that they were engaged in conducting pre-attack surveillance, which is a very common effort by Hezbollah cells in the United States, where they make preparations so that if they should need to, if a conflict between U.S. and Iran should arise, they can very easily launch a series of terror attacks. So that's probably what they were up to. If the American public is surprised by this, it's probably because over the past 8 years, the Obama administration so aggressively downplayed the threat from Hezbollah and really did everything in their power to undermine any efforts to investigate these sorts of cells or roll them up.
Yeah. And actually, as I understand it, directed the Department of Justice not to engage in the prosecution of Hezbollah entities on the grounds that that might interfere with the president's ambition to get a deal with Iran that would be the crowning touch on his legacy. It's proven to be a very, very horrible legacy indeed. And Kyle, there's so much more to talk about. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the great work you do as the director of the Center's Threat Information Office. I hope you'll join us again soon, Kyle, and I hope the rest of you will do the same again on Monday, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.